भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
The reading from Bhagavad Gita, as I was requested to read from, and the reading from chapter 9, text 26, a well-known verse, where Krishna states, Patram Pushpam Balantoyam Yomi Bhakti Aparayachati Daraham Bhakti Paritam Ashnami Prayatatmana. Translation: if one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, flower, a fruit, a water, I will accept it. Report by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. For the intelligent person, it is essential to be in Krishna consciousness, engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. In order to achieve a permanent, blissful abode for eternal happiness. The process of achieving such a marvelous result is very easy and can be attempted even by the poorest of the poor without any kind of qualification. The only qualification required in this connection is to be a pure devotee of the Lord. It does not matter what one is or where one is situated. The process is so easy that even a leaf or a little water or fruit can be offered to the Supreme Lord in genuine love, and the Lord will be pleased to accept it. No one, therefore, can be barred from Krishna consciousness because it is so easy and universal. Who is such a fool that he does not want to be Krishna conscious by this simple method and thus attain the highest perfection of life of eternity, bliss, and knowledge? Krishna wants only loving service and nothing more. Krishna accepts even a little flower from his pure devotee. He does not want any kind of offering from a non-devotee. He is not in need of anything from anyone because he is self-sufficient. Yet he accepts the offering of his devotee in exchange of love and affection. To develop Krishna consciousness is the highest perfection of life. Bhakti is mentioned twice in this verse in order to declare more emphatically that bhakti, or devotional service, is the only means to approach Krishna. No other conditions, such as becoming a Brahmin, a learned scholar, a very rich man, or a great philosopher, can induce Krishna to accept some offering. Without the basic principle of bhakti, nothing can induce the Lord to agree to accept anything from anyone. Bhakti is never causal. The process is eternal. It is direct action in service to the Absolute Whole. Here Lord Krishna, having established that he is the only enjoyer, the primeval Lord, and the real object of all sacrificial offerings, reveals what types of sacrifices he desires to be offered. If one wishes to engage in devotional service to the Supreme in order to be purified and to reach the goal of life, the transcendental loving service of God, then one should find out what the Lord desires of him. One who loves Krishna will give him whatever he wants, and he avoids offering anything which is undesirable or unasked. Thus, meat, fish, and eggs should be not offered to Krishna. If he desired such things as offerings, he would have said so. Instead, he clearly requests that a leaf, fruit, flower, flowers and water be given to him. And he says of this offering, I will accept it. Therefore, we should understand that he will not accept meat, fish, and eggs. Vegetables, grains, fruits, milk, and water are the proper foods for human beings and are prescribed by Lord Krishna himself. Whatever else we eat cannot be offered to him, since he will not accept it. Thus, we cannot be acting on the level of loving devotion if we offer such foods. In the third chapter, verse 13, Sri Krishna explains that only the remains of sacrifice are purified and fit for consumption by those who are seeking advancement in life and release from the clutches of the material entanglement. Those who do not make an offering of their food, he says in the same verse, are eating only sin. In other words, every mouthful is simply deepening their involvement in the complexities of material nature. But preparing nice, simple vegetable dishes, offering them before the picture or deity of Lord Krishna, and bowing down and praying for him to accept such a humble offering, enables one to advance steadily in life, to purify the body, and to create fine grained tissues which will lead to clear thinking. Above all, the offering should be made with an attitude of love. Krishna has no need of food, since he already possesses everything that be. Yet he will accept the offering of one who desires to please him in that way. The important element in preparation, in serving, and in offering is to act with love for Krishna. The impersonalist philosophers who wish to maintain that the Absolute Truth is without senses cannot comprehend this verse in Bhagavad Gita. To them, it is either a metaphor or proof of the mundane character of Krishna, the speaker of the Bhagavad Gita. But in actuality, Krishna, the Supreme Godhead, has senses, and it is stated that his senses are interchangeable. In other words, one sense can perform the function of any other. This is what it means to say that Krishna is absolute. Lacking senses, he could hardly be considered full in all opulences. In the seventh chapter, Krishna has explained that he impregnates the living entities into material nature. This is done by his looking upon material nature. And so in this instance, Krishna's hearing the devotee's words of love and offering foodstuffs is wholly identical with his eating and actually tasting. This point should be emphasized because of his absolute position. His hearing is wholly identical with his eating and tasting. Only the devotee who accepts Krishna as he describes himself, without interpretation, can understand that the Supreme Absolute Truth can eat food and enjoy it. Patram Krishnam Pavantoyam Yome Patya Pariyachati Taraham Bhakti Paritam Ashnami Payatat Manaha. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gyananjana Sarakaya Chakshu Anminitam Yena Tasmai Shri Hare Maha Ukam Karoti Vachalam Pangam Nangayate Garim Yakripa Tamaham Vande Shri Guru Gintaram Nama Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vidanta Swami Bhuti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nirvishesha Sambhari Vastucha Deshitanani Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadaya Shri Vasudi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram Rama Ram Hare Hare Srila Prabhupada, with many, many times, quote this verse from Bhagavad Gita. We can understand, because he quoted it so often, it must be an important verse. And if we try to capture the essence of Krishna's message in this verse, Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that the word bhakti is used several times in the verse. For a reason. The essence is that when something is offered to Krishna with bhakti, with love, Krishna becomes very much inclined to accept it. Therefore, the ingredient of bhakti is what Krishna is looking for. Otherwise, why would someone who possesses the entire creation be so much interested in simply a leaf or a little water, or a fruit, or flower? Everything is coming from Krishna. This explains Bhagavad Gita, Ham Sadashya Prabhu, Mataksaram Brahmatati, Iti Matva Bhajatinam, Gurubhava Samavita. finally a source of the entire material and spiritual worlds. Everything is emanating from Him. Everything is coming. He is the proprietor. He is of everything that exists throughout creation. Etato nini bhutani sarva bhutcha padhariya ahankitsvasya jagata apagapalayastita. Of all that is material, all that is spiritual, you should know that I am its origin. Everything is coming. Matakvarataranam lakkinshirastitananjaya. Everything is resting upon me, just like pearls are resting upon me. Thread. Therefore, Krishna says, there's no truth which is superior to me. So, why is Krishna interested in a leaf, a flower, a fruit, a water, if everything is coming from him? And therefore, as Srila Prabhupada explains, what is important in this verse is the use of the word bhakti, or devotion. Because it is a devotion which Krishna looks at. Not so much the offering. Of course, it is not that we should not offer something wonderful to Krishna. If we possess it, everything belongs to him, therefore we should offer it to him. But still, as Prabhupada explains, that Krishna is not very much inclined to accept from his non-devotees. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Narada Muni has spoken one verse. He says, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very dear to those devotees who have no material possessions and who are fully satisfied in possessing only devotional service to Krishna. Indeed, the Supreme Lord relishes the activities of such devotees. Those who are proud of their possessions. Right? They're proud of their high opulence, or they're proud of their position, aristocracy. They're generally puffed up with possessing such things. And even if such persons offer the Supreme Lord worship, the Lord doesn't accept, because they will oftentimes deride a devotee of the Lord. So Narada Muni explains that the Supreme Lord is very dear to those devotees who are anxious to possess bhakti, devotion. That is their greatest possession. That is their greatest wealth. Why is it their greatest wealth? Because it is bhakti which brings the Supreme Lord under one's control. It is bhakti that attracts the Supreme Lord, so much so that the Lord becomes subservient to one who actually has bhakti. One who actually has devotion, he possesses the most valuable possession. Because Krishna says, I give myself to him. Just like everyone knows the story, I'm sure, Maharaj Ambarish, right? And Durvasa Muni, he committed an offense to Maharaj Ambarish. He became very angry because Maharaj Ambarish had to break his fast, and he took a little water to break his fast, although Durvasa Muni had come as a guest to his home. And Durvasa Muni came at a particular time when Maharaj Ambarish had to break his fast, otherwise his whole fast would have been nullified if he didn't break it at a certain time. So he decided, in discussion with the Brahmins, that he would take a little water, because it was considering that by taking water, it is both fasting and not fasting. So when Durvasa Muni appeared, he said, I'm going to take my bath, and when I return, I'll come and accept a meal in your home. Now, you know, this is Vaishnava. This is tradition, Vedic tradition. The guest is received in one's home, and the person will never accept without first offering to his guest. So when Durvasa Muni returned from taking his bath, he saw that Maharaj Ambarish had taken some water. He became very disturbed. Why have you done such a thing? Cursed? Cursed, invoke the presence of a demon to destroy Maharaj Ambarish. And the Lord, in order to protect Maharaj Ambarish, he invoked his Sudarshan Chakra. And he invoked it to kill the demon and to protect Maharaj Ambarish. And this Sudarshan Chakra killed the demon that Durvasa Muni made appear by his curse, and then began chasing Durvasa Muni. Durvasa Muni was running in great fear of his life. Why? Where did he go? He began traveling throughout the entire material world. He went to take shelter of Lord Brahma, and Lord Brahma said, I cannot do anything. This chakra has been invoked by the Supreme Lord Vishnu. How can I possibly protect you? Traveled to the abode of Lord Shiva, approached Mahadev, please. And Mahadev said, oh, I'm sorry, what can I do? And he went to Vishnu himself. He approached Lord Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu said, I can't do anything. And Vasubhuni said, I don't understand. What do you mean you can't do anything? You invoked this chakra. Why can't you give me protection? And he said, Lord Vishnu said, I'm completely under the control of my devotee. I am not at all independent. Because my devotees, right, they sit in, I sit only within the core of their hearts, because my devotees do not want any other desire, fruitive desire within their heart except to serve me. What to speak of my devotees, even those who are servants of my devotees are very dear to me. So the Lord told Durvasa, I can't protect you either. And Śrīla Viśvanātha Cakravarti Thakura, he gives a commentary to this verse, explains something very, very important about the characteristic of bhakti. He says that Durvasa Muni said to the Lord, what does it mean? What do you mean when you say you're not independent? You're God. You must be independent. How can you say you're not independent? Certainly, when you see somebody suffering, aren't you inclined to protect him? Aren't you inclined to give him shelter, to relieve his suffering? How can you say? And Krishna says, no, it is my nature, my svabhava, my nature is to place myself dependent upon my devotee. And then Durvasa says, but look at me, I'm suffering. And then the Lord says, yes, but I don't have a mind to think of your suffering. I don't even belong to myself. Why? Because I've given myself to my devotee. And then Durvasa Muni is very disturbed and saying, what do you mean you can't even think of my suffering? And the Lord says, is the devotee, he takes me within the core of his heart, and he serves me in the core of his heart, within the core of his heart so nicely. And every time my devotee serves me, I say to my devotee, please let me give you something. And my devotee says, no, I don't want anything. I just simply want to serve you. And the Lord insists, no, let me give you something. Please, I want to reciprocate for your love, for your service. And my devotee, every time I say, let me give you something, my devotee says, no, Lord, I'm happy just to serve. Please let me serve. So the Lord says to Durvasa Muni, therefore, even though my devotee does not ask, I feel I have to give him something. So what do I give him which is valuable? My devotee doesn't want wealth. It's not valuable to him. Doesn't want position. It's not valuable to him. I give him the most valuable thing within my possession. I give him my heart. He has my heart. Therefore, you're coming to me and saying, please, think about my suffering. But I don't have a mind and a heart. Maharaj Ambarish has it. You want to become relieved from your suffering? You must go to him. You want my mercy? My mercy is there. He has my heart within his heart. That is the position of the Lord. He gives his heart to his devotee. Because the devotee doesn't want anything else. He only wants to please the Lord. And what does the Lord do? How does the Lord show his love to his devotee? The Lord shows his love to his devotee. When the devotee offers something with love, the Lord is very much inclined to accept it from his devotee. Non-devotee Prabhupada says right here, he accepts the offering of his devotee in an exchange of love and affection. He says, Krishna accepts even a little flower from his pure devotee. He does not want any kind of offering from a non-devotee. is not in need of anything from anyone. He is self-sufficient. Yet he accepts the offering of his devotee in exchange of love and affection. Accepting. That is his reciprocal exchange with his devotee. So, of course, who is the Lord inclined to accept from? He's not inclined to accept from someone who doesn't have love. Therefore, it's the love. Prahlad Maharaj, when he was speaking to his friends, his classmates, Prahlad Maharaj was also in school, a little younger than you, but he used to sit with his classmates. They would have kirtan. And then he would sit and speak to them. And his classmates were sons of demons. And he said, "Oh my friends, oh sons of demons, you cannot please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even if you become expert Brahman. Even if you become advanced etiquette or vast learning, none of these things can awaken the pleasure of the Lord. Nor by austerities, nor by sacrifices, nor by accepting vows, chastity. These things don't awaken the Lord's pleasure. The Lord is pleased only when one has unflinching, unalloyed devotion to Him. Without sincere devotion, everything else is simply a show." Prahlad Maharaj is telling his friends, you may think, oh, you become an expert Brahmin, learned scholar, stated in Shastra, Bhagavad Bhakti Hinasya, Jati Shastra Japastapa, Akwanasiva Dehyana Mandanam Lokaranjana. For a person who is devoid of devotion, that even if he takes birth in a great family of nature, a nation, even if he is expert in chanting all kinds of Vedic mantras, even if he's very learned in scripture, even if he performs all kinds of austerities, what are they? They're all described to be like ornaments on a dead body. They simply serve the concocted pleasures of the general populace. Ornaments on a dead body. We may think, oh, such qualities. Shastra, austerities, birth by nation. No. Chanting Vedic mantras. No. Ornaments on a dead body, it's a person who has no bhakti, no devotion. Bhagavat bhakti hinasya jati shastra japastapa. So, Prahlad Maharaj is telling his friends the same thing. He says, oh my dear friends, even if you become expert Brahmin, great knowledge, no bhakti, then the Lord is not so much inclined to accept. Without sincere, unflinching devotion, everything is a show. What does it mean, a show? What is Prahlad Maharaj saying? A show? It means Krishna only looks when there's bhakti. You're trying to get Krishna's attention without bhakti? He's not looking at you. You can do anything. You can wave your arms. You can display your beauty. You can command, demand, whatever you wish to do. But if there's no bhakti, the Lord's not looking. Therefore, if the Lord is not looking, you must be doing it to attract somebody else's attention, because Krishna doesn't look at this. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj says, everything else is simply a show. So, it's the heart. This is the essence of Lord Chaitanya's teachings. This is the essence of Krishna's teachings. Especially, this is the essence of this verse. The essence of this verse is, what will Krishna look at? What is valuable to him? What does Krishna consider to be of value? Wouldn't it be nice to actually consider our existence valuable to Krishna? It would be wonderful. Many of us, we're looking for that. Right? We're looking to have some value to our life. Many of us will think that, yes, I need to do something to give my life some value so I can be appreciated, respected, recognized. But what about being recognized by Krishna? Prabhupada used to quote Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. He said we should execute our devotional service, not thinking that, let me see Krishna, but by executing my devotional service, a devotee should be thinking, let me be seen by Krishna. Let Krishna just see me. There's a story in Chaitanya Bhagavat of the maidservant of Srivas Thakur. Her name is Duki. Every day she would gather water from the Ganga, put it in clay pots, and she would leave it by the doorway for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to take his bath. She would just leave it there. She was never there, but she would just leave the water there. And Lord Chaitanya would come every day and he would see the pots there of water for him to take his bath. And one day he asked, where does this come from? And Shivas Pandit, he said, oh, maidservant, her name is, she is everything, maidservant, every day she comes and she brings this water, she leaves this water for you. Her name is Duki. And Lord Chaitanya says, Duki? No. Her name is not Duki. Within my heart, her name will always be Suki. This is how Lord Chaitanya accepted her service. She was not standing in front of the pot saying, I brought these pots for you every day. This is not what she had to do to get his attention. Right? Sometimes we think we have to stand in front of her and get recognized. Stand up and be counted. Be recognized. But what does the Lord recognize? It's not the show. It's not the me, I did it. I did it to please him. That's what he recognizes. He recognizes the heart. And Lord Chaitanya established that principle with Duki, making her Suki. Imagine, Lord Chaitanya said, in my heart, but to speak of being in the heart of the Lord, in my heart, she will always be Suki. She will always be happy. So this is the essence of offering to Krishna. This is the essence of the devotee's attitude. The Lord actually becomes so bound by love, he becomes subordinate. This is the quality known as Bhakta Vatsal. He becomes subordinate to the devotee. Prabhupada tells that wonderful little story of the Prime Minister, right? Such a wonderful story. The Prime Minister was one time busy in his office. Well, I have to stop at 7:30. Yes, no. Huh? Should I stop now or should I continue for a few more minutes? Huh? Continue. Prabhupada tells the story of the Prime Minister. One day he had a very important meeting with an ambassador. And the ambassador came to his office at the previously scheduled time for his meeting. And he approached the secretary and said, I'm here to meet the Prime Minister. And the secretary asked his name, gave his name. He went into the Prime Minister's office and said, told the Prime Minister that the ambassador was waiting for him. So the Prime Minister said, yes, tell him I will be ready soon. He should just sit down and wait. So the ambassador, very patiently, sat down. And he was waiting. Time was passing. And he was wondering, I'm the ambassador. I have a very important meeting with the Prime Minister. What is so important that he's doing, that he's making me wait this long? Decided that when the secretary had come out of the door, the secretary let the door open just a little bit, so the ambassador decided to look in to see what's so important. So the ambassador opened the door, he looked in, and the Prime Minister was on his hands and knees, walking around like he was a horse, with the grandson on his back, riding him like a horse. And the grandson would take his legs, and he would kick him with his legs, and the Prime Minister would jump and move forward very quickly at the kicks of his grandson. So the ambassador was looking at this shot. This is so important. I'm such an important man. And he's, look what he's doing. And Prabhupada said, this is Krishna. Krishna becomes controlled by the love of his devotee. It's much more important to Krishna. Just as the prime minister was controlled by his grandson who could kick him. Imagine kicking the prime minister. But his grandson could do it and get a very effective response. He would laugh, joyful. If the ambassador said, I'm going to kick you for making me wait so long, he wouldn't get the same response. But the grandson was kicking and getting a very wonderful, joyful response. And was riding his grandfather like a horse. So, the point is that Krishna is controlled by love. That is what's most important to him. He has another role, he has another position. He is the Supreme Lord Vishnu, who is the object of all sacrifices, and bestows results of sacrifices performed to him, as it says in Bhagavad Gita, yagyata kama nomanta, lokoyam karma bandhana. Work performed as a sacrifice to Vishnu has to be performed. Yes, that is his position. He will bestow all the necessities upon mankind by the performance of sacrifice. But Krishna has another position also, and that is Bhakta Vatsala. Bhakta Vatsala means he likes to place himself under the control of his devotee. So much so that a devotee can chastise him, a devotee can jump on his back. Coward boys would jump on Krishna's back and say to Krishna, what kind of big boy do you think, big man do you think you are? Don't you know you and I are equal? Coward boys could do this. They have love. Mother Jasoda, she could do this with Krishna. She was thinking, my son Krishna, she needs my protection. I have to nurture him and protect him. If I don't, then how will he eat? I have to prepare milk for him on the stove. I have to offer my milk for my breasts. She's dependent upon my protection. She's thinking like this. She controls Krishna by her love. And Krishna becomes so subservient to that love that Krishna becomes the son of Jasoda, Jasoda Nanda. Krishna is the friend of his karma boy, Shigam, Madhubampa. Krishna becomes subordinate. Because the devotees have such unalloyed love for him. Although Krishna, he also expands into unlimited expansions. And he maintains the entire creation through his different energies. Yatasya kayam karanam cha vijyate, yatacha mastavjikas cha jishyate, parasya shaktiya vivadhaya vishyate, svapali yana valibhiya cha. Krishna, there's nothing for him to do. No one is greater than him. Because everything happens very naturally and systematically through his multifarious energies. He doesn't have to do anything. Krishna simply enjoys. Namam karmani vipati nama karma palaispiya. Iti mam yogi janati kama birna samajate. Krishna says, there's no work that affects me. Nor do I aspire for fruits of work. Anyone who knows this truth about me will also not become entangled in fruitive reactions of work. That is Krishna. Krishna says, I don't have to work. I don't have to do anything. That's Krishna. We could say, I don't have to work, I don't have to do anything, and implications will be a little bit different. But Krishna can do it, and no implications whatsoever, because everything is his. If we didn't have anything we had to do, what would we do? Answer. We would do what we wanted to do. Isn't it? If you had nothing you had to do, you would do what you want to do. Everybody has a little list they keep in their notebook, right? Things they want to do when the time can come. Little time I can get. I'd like to do this, I want to do that. Keep a little list, wish list. Krishna doesn't have to keep a wish list. There's nothing he has to do. Namam karmani vipati. I did not become affected. I can do whatever I want. And he says, anyone who knows this about me also can enjoy like me. Anyone who knows this truth about me will also not become entangled in the reactions to his work. Just by knowing this, this is Krishna. That's what Krishna wants. He wants us to serve him in this way. That is the essence of Lord Krishna's teachings of Bhagavad Gita. As we said, the essence of this verse is found in the word bhakti, or love, unalloyed love. The essence of the Bhagavad Gita, of Lord Krishna's teaching, is manmana bhava mad bhakta madhyaji mad namaskaru mamai vaishasi satyam te katijine priyosi. Manmana bhava mad bhakta. Krishna says, always think of me, worship me, love. Offer your obeisances unto me. Surely you will come to me. This is the how to attract Krishna's attention. This is what Krishna is looking for. Not the external fanfare and display, but Krishna is looking that we want to do something to please him. That is all. And it doesn't have to be big either. Sometimes we think we have to do something really, really big. But Krishna takes even the smallest offering and he makes it big. He makes it big because it becomes very valuable. Right? Even when the brahmachari Shukumbhara had some broken rice in his hand. Broken rice. But that was big for the Lord. The Lord was very eager to take it. He took it right out of Shukumbhara's hands, even before Shukumbhara offered it. So eager to take from the hands of his devotees. He wanted to relish. So the Lord considers something valuable when the love is good. That is the essence of this verse from Bhagavad Gita. So, maybe we can stop. If somebody has some questions, you can ask questions or comments. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. No. Yes. How do we generate unparalleled, is that what you said? Bhakti for Lord Krishna? Very good question. First of all, bhakti is already there. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajja Gabunoi. This is in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajja Gabunoi. Shravanadi Suchite Kore Udoi. Shravanadi. This verse means Nitya Siddha. Krishna, pure love for Krishna is eternally situated within the heart of every living being. It doesn't come from any other source. When the living entity hears about Krishna from the right source, this pure love is awakened. Right? So it's already there. It needs to be brought out. It's not that we generate from nothing. It's there. Prabhupada will give the example, just like fire is in wood. It's there. But it needs to be brought out. It needs a catalyst. You put a catalyst against the wood, fire comes out. Same thing. Bhakti is there within the heart, but it needs to be brought out. What brings it out? The bhakti in someone else's heart. That brings it out. Krishna tells Arjuna, Naham tishtami vaikunte yogi nam vidhi yeshuva tata tishtami garva yatra gayati mad bhakta. He says, oh Narada, I'm not in Vaikuntha. Nor am I in the hearts of yogis, but I am in that place where my devotees are always chanting my glories. I go there. So wherever the devotees are glorifying Krishna, Krishna agrees to appear. And what happens? Shinvadas Vakata Krishna Punyashavana Kirtana. That Sri Krishna, who is the super soul within the heart of every living being, he cleanses the desire for material enjoyment within the heart of that person who becomes very eager to hear about him. He cleans. Bhakti is generated in this way. Right? When we hear about Krishna, then that natural desire to serve Krishna is brought out. The more we hear, the more it becomes brought out. Prabhupada used to give the example, very simple example. He said that if you take an iron rod and you put it into fire, It develops all the qualities of fire by association. It's iron, but keep it in fire long enough and then touch it, it will burn just like fire. Why? Because of its association with fire. In the same way, our hearts, when we come in contact with bhakti, when we come in contact with Krishna's holy name, we come in contact with Krishna's devotees. Our hearts develop bhakti, purify. We have to open our hearts and make our hearts very nice receptacles for bhakti. And then when we actually keep ourselves in the association, kirtaniya sadahari, always, or as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, satatam kirtayantomam yatantaschadudhakrata. What is my devotee? Satatam kirtayantomam. He's always chanting my glories. He's keeping himself in his association with me by always chanting my glories. And then bhakti comes out. He's always hearing about me. Machitama gataprana bodhiyatta parasparam. The thoughts of my devotees dwell in me, their lives are surrendered to me. They derive great satisfaction and bliss talking about me and hearing about me. This is how we make us associate with Krishna. And the more we associate with Krishna, what happens? Bhakti comes. Of course, it takes time. But if we actually cultivate that desire, and how do we get that desire? Also very important. How to get the desire? Sometimes it may not be there. Sometimes it's manifest, sometimes not manifest. Krishna says also, 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Atachitana samatatam nashikosi maistiram abhyasa yukena tato mamuchatam dhananjaya. He says, my dear Arjuna, if you can't always fix your mind upon me, then follow the regular principles of bhakti yoga, and this way you'll develop the desire to come to me. What are the regular principles of bhakti yoga? Every day, we hear something about Krishna. Every day we chant Krishna's name. Every day we just say something about, every day, that is bhakti. That is the goal of everything else that we do. Smartavyam satatam vishnor vismartavyam yajatu chit sarva vidhi nisidashya etiyo eva vinkara. Krishna must be remembered, must never be forgotten. All the rules, all the prohibitions that we follow in the scriptures are meant to serve these two principles. So every day, we simply do something to remember Krishna. That is all. Then it will come. But if we don't, we think, no, so many more important things to do. So many pressing, these things are more important. Krishna knows what our priorities are, he's in our heart. He knows if we make those things priority and Krishna secondary, he knows. Then he'll let us think they're more important. But the result is, no bhakti awakens. But when we show him, no, every day remembering you is most important. Everything else is secondary. Like every day we have to eat, right? It's important. We don't forget to eat. We remember, it's important. If I eat, I have strength. Same thing, pushti. Everyone needs spiritual strength. Nourishment. If I want to remember Krishna, every day I should hear something about him. Every day I should chant his name. Just glorify him. Remember him. It will come. And Krishna sees that effort. That's what he sees. You're making some effort for him. He becomes pleased. Ananyas chintayatomam yejanapati upashate tesham nitya payoktanam yogakshema vahamyaham. Krishna says, if you make that endeavor and come to me, Prabhupada would always say, you take one step to me, I'll take 10 steps to you. Krishna says, whatever you lack, I'll give to you. Whatever you have, I will preserve for you. Just keep on endeavoring. A little time, every day we give to Krishna. And don't let anything else disturb it. It will come. It has to come. Because Krishna will see your effort. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Om Gaur Sishampa.